If you open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 13. If Mountain View Chapel is your home church, if you consider this your home church, you for sure have reasons why that is so. There's something about this local body of believers is something that you wanted to be a part of. There's only one church. We understand that, right? It's the collection of all saints all over the world. There's only one church of Jesus Christ, but they are divided among all the nations in what we call local churches. There's differing traditions in these local churches, different cultures, different values even at times. The problem we might come across in this local body is that we all come from different backgrounds, different church denominations, different cultures and values. And so when we come and we meet here, we might expect different things. We come in with different ideas, different expectations, different values. And what that can do is that there are some of us that might even just be moving in different directions. So how do we know that we as Mountain View Chapel, a local church that we truly believe God planted here and God has kept here, how do we know that we're moving collectively and that we're doing it in the right direction? Here's another way of saying that. How do we know as Mountain View Chapel if we're actually successful? There's ways that we view success that are wrong. The easy way is just to look at a bank account and how many chairs are filled. But that's not success. So what we have decided is that to find success and to be able to evaluate how we're doing as a local body is to agree upon a mission statement. So for 2 years, we came together and we worked out a vision statement. Basically, looking at this vision statement, saying this is who we are, this is where we're going, and this is how we're going to do it. And this will separate us. It makes us unique from other local churches, and it doesn't make other local churches wrong, or doesn't make us right, doesn't make us wrong, doesn't make us right. I really believe that God has established local churches for a specific reason, for His glory. And we needed to know why we're here. Are we here just because we meet on Sunday mornings? Or is it something bigger than that? So for the next 8 weeks, I'm going to be preaching through that mission statement that we adopted not very long ago. And the goal of this is that we will be in unity together with the same purpose, the same direction, the same how-to, that we're not pulling against each other, trying to go different directions, and really ultimately not being successful at all. And so we have what we call the mission statement, and under that mission statement we have 7 core values. 7 values that will never change, that if we move away from any of these core values, we're no longer acting as Mountain View Chapel as God has called us to be. So we're going to look at all of them. And we can even use these as really like a report card. And I really do think that we as a church should examine ourselves. And this is going to give us the criteria by which we're going to examine ourselves. Are we faithful to this and this and this and this and this? And if any of them say, well, we say this is who we are, but I don't really see it. We're not really doing that. Well, then we're failing there. And it's something that we have to correct. So as we look at today, just the broad statement, it's not about how we're going to do it. It's not about really anything about the how. It's really just about the what or who we are. Mountain View Chapel is making disciples who glorify Christ as He builds His church. So today, we're just looking at that statement. This is the broad, overarching umbrella statement that who we are as Mountain View Chapel. And to fulfill that, we need to understand it. So that is the goal this morning. So if you'll follow along with me, Matthew 13, starting in verse 24, we're going to look at the parables of Jesus in which he describes the kingdom of God. It reads this. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour, till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what is hidden since the foundation of the world.' And then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out his kingdom, all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'" Will you bow your heads with me? Our Father, I thank you for your word. Not only does it feed us and bring us life, it gives us hope, shows us the end of days. It gives us insight into what you're doing, the heart of the gospel. So Lord, I pray that you will unite us today as your church around not what we want to do, but what you are already doing. I thank you that you've made us a part of this, that you have saved us for obedience, that you've saved us that we can be a part of this mission, that the gospel will go out to every nation, and that your name will be known among all peoples, and that people from every language will bow the knee to you. God, that brings excitement into our very bones, that light is penetrating the darkness. So, Father, I pray that we will be a church who is faithful to the calling, that we will not just continue to meet out of tradition, but that we are called out on mission, and that we are passionate about this. Revive that in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus just told us in the parables that everything that he is doing is revolving around what he calls the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, and that it's going to start very, very small. That's what Dave read this morning in the book of Luke. It started with just a few. And he says it's now expanding over all the nations of the world. And by the time the end comes, it's going to fill all of the earth. And so as we look at our mission statement, as we came together and we prayed together about what that mission statement is, we were not looking at what fits us. What do we like? What makes us comfortable? But really what we were looking at is what is Jesus already doing? Because this is his church. So the mission statement that we just looked at, we really believe is not our idea. It is the Son of Man's idea. Because it is the Son of Man who plants the seed. It is his gospel. It was by his sacrifice, his humility, that the gospel is even made available to sinners like us. The church is his creation, and it's his possession. He has never given over possession of the church to anybody else. It belongs to him. And so we focused together and said, Lord, you're already at work. Will you reveal to our hearts what you've called us to do in that same work? And what immediately became clear to all of us is the growth of the church and what Jesus defined as making disciples. That came to the forefront of everyone after that time of prayer. Go and make disciples of all the nations. This is how the kingdom is going to cover the earth. This is God's mission plan. Go and make disciples of all of the nations of the world. That is how that tree is going to expand over all of the earth. So the mission statement of our church is reflecting what Christ is doing. And if we're not doing what Christ is doing, we're not here for the right reason. It's really easy to make church about us. It's really easy to fall into that. And if we do that, I guarantee you, we're just making it more comfortable for us. I don't think Jesus is calling us to be comfortable. The mission statement's not comfortable. But that's what he's doing. So we have to reflect what Jesus is already doing, and he's been doing for 2,000 years. So who are we to step in and say, how about if we change the game plan? That is not our place. We are simply listening and then following. That's what we have to do as the church. That's our place. We are the servants of God. We are not his advisors. So we can easily call ourselves Christians, right? That's a very easy term now today. It's really easy to say, yes, I'm a Christian, but really not be living like one. For many people, being a Christian just simply means that you grew up in a home that was, or that went to church. To be Christian just simply means that maybe your name is written in a church ledger of membership. Being a Christian can just mean that you live in a nation that's prominently Christian. Jesus nowhere says, go and make Christians. He says, go and make disciples. And though that is our mission statement, I'm going to go into that more in depth later because one of our core values is discipleship. So we're going to hang on what it really means to be a disciple till later. But know this, that we are called to be learners. We're called to be followers. And we're called to be looking to Jesus alone. We're trained to be like him. His character, his purpose, that we know him, that we trust him, that we obey him. We purposefully put our mission statement, and it's in your bulletin if you want to keep an eye on what that mission statement is, keep it fresh. We purposefully put the mission statement in present tense, that we, Mountain View Chapel, are making disciples, right? who glorify Christ as he is building, right? As he builds his church. It's all present tense. It's not something that we're looking to do later on down the road. After we get our act together, or after such and such is finished first, then we will make disciples. It is something that we are constantly, always doing, because that's our calling. It's not something that ever can be put in the past tense. It can't be. We're never finished with this. It's not something to say that we are somehow a discipleship graduate. You will never get a discipleship diploma, so don't think that's your goal. All of us are always being made disciples. If you look at other local churches, some are very outward oriented, very event oriented. And honestly, if that's their calling, that's what God has chosen them to be, they better be faithful to that. Their idea, their values, their culture is that we want to bring the world in and share the gospel with them. Here at Mountain View Chapel, it's not that we're not interested in the unbeliever. Of course we are. But here we have the heart and the idea that we better have a healthy home first. Because if we're going to bring unbelievers in here, boy, I hate to be, and I'm going to read it later, I hate to be like a Pharisee that makes them twice a son of hell as we are. So we need to be disciples first if we're going to make disciples. And so our idea, our focus here is that we are inward focused first, believing that a healthy home will automatically spread outward. That's how we see it. And so we will look at what evangelism is later. We will look at what discipleship is later. Today we're just, again, just doing the broad umbrella view of what our mission is. And by being disciples, and by making disciples, we are learning together, training together, encouraging together, teaching together, to be more like Christ. Putting to death sin, renewing our minds through Scripture and the Spirit. And that requires vulnerability. And that's where a lot of people get turned off. I like coming to church. I like singing. I like hearing a message. But I don't want anyone getting into my life. That's not disciple making. That's religious exercise. So as Mountain View Chapel, being focused primarily and fully on making disciples means that we are focused on the relationships that we have in this church, knowing each other as we know Christ, coming alongside one another, right? Teaching one another. Isn't that what it says? Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. That's true discipleship, and that's the true program that he has put into place. Now, I'm going to go on to the next couple of points here, talking about glorifying Christ. And I'm going to premise them by saying there's a couple traps that we can fall into when we say that we are a disciple-making church. Here's the first trap. That we unknowingly fall into the trap of making disciples of Mountain View. And it's easy to do. That we share people about Jesus. Right? And praise the Lord, they believe. And then they go and get baptized. Here's where the trap falls in. We expect them to come here. We expect them that they're now going to be a Mountain View member, right? And that they'll begin to act like us and think like us. That's what the trap the Pharisees were caught in. That they were convinced they were right. They were following the law in the way God had prescribed it. And that they were out to set to make more Pharisees. And the mission of Mountain View Chapel is that we are making disciples of Jesus, not disciples of Mountain View Chapel. And here's a red flag then that we can look to. Put yourself in a place where you have a neighbor or a friend or a family member here in the valley, and you've been sharing Christ with them, you've been sharing the gospel with them, and they come to know the Lord. And you're just excited. And you're there at their baptism, and God leads them to be a part of a different local body of believers. And you become discouraged by that, distraught by that. That's a red flag that we are no longer making disciples of Jesus, letting him do with what he wants with his kingdom, but we're actually making disciples of our church. We're making disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love this church. We desire people to be at this church, but we have an understanding that the kingdom is way bigger than us. And that God, having saved people by the blood of his own son, he has the right to call them wherever he wants. So if we, through the ministry of this church, someone is saved and they become a part of this local body, well, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. If through the ministry of this church and its members, someone comes to know the Lord and God calls them to be a part of a different local body, well, praise the Lord. They're serving the Lord where he's called them. Our primary purpose as the creation, all of creation, really, is to magnify its creator. We, created in the image of God, is made to put God on display for all the creation to see. That's how we exalt him. That's how we are living fully as the image of God, is that if all of creation is able to see God through us, but sin hasn't allowed that. Sin has ruined that. So it's only when we trust in Christ alone for salvation that God justifies us, makes us right, removes our sin. Then, and only then, can we put on display the righteousness of heaven. And with that purpose in mind, we recognize that it is possible to put programs into place, to put a discipleship program into place that doesn't please him. And that's something we have to understand. That we can have ministries put into place in a local church with the name of Jesus on it, and he is not pleased with it. Look what Matthew chapter 7 reads. This is Jesus' very words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, they must have been put in some sort of religious program. If they're thinking they are a follower of God. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? Weren't we involved in all the religious things? Wasn't that a good thing? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. May we take warning and take heed that just because we put something into place as a quote-unquote ministry of this church doesn't mean it's God's will. We have to seek his heart. He goes on to say to the Pharisees right before his crucifixion, he tells the Pharisees this. And when he says, woe to you, that's pronouncing a curse upon them. The opposite of blessing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you have shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. They were doing God's work. But you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. That's terrifying. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. A proselyte is a Gentile who became a Jew, okay? And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Those words come from the one who is the judge of heaven and earth. The one who knows the motives and the thoughts and the intentions of every person. And unless we are found in Christ, we too are going to be turned away into everlasting darkness. So as we strive to teach and we train and we preach, we want people to become a disciple that Jesus approves. And if we're making simple disciples of ourselves, Jesus doesn't approve of that. We want to hear this. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." I love that verse. I don't know if anyone even here thinks this, but sometimes you can think, we're just a little rural church. What can we really do? He says, well, you've been faithful over a little. That's a good thing. God does a lot with little. We have the ability here because of God's saving grace and His Holy Spirit to make worldwide impact if we walk in obedience to Him. So we are making disciples who glorify Christ, not glorify us, right? That's the goal of this. That we make disciples who glorify Christ, but then we added the tag on the end. And I don't know if we had to, but we felt it very important to remind ourselves every time we read the mission statement of our church that it's Jesus who builds the church. What an important thing to remember. Because another trap is to think that the results of our mission statement is based entirely upon our own skill and passion. That the results of our discipleship work solely depends on how well of a program we put together, if it's a program, you know, or how hard we work, or how educated we are. That if we put some top-notch discipleship program in, then the church is bound to grow. But didn't the Apostle Paul say, we're the ones who plant and water with the gospel, but it's Jesus who grows it. God's the one who grows it. And in fact, Jesus, talking to his own disciples, said this in Matthew 16, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Not you, Peter. Not you, John. Not you, apostles. Not you, Mountain View Chapel. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We've concluded that's a very good idea to put this on the end of our mission statement, as a continual reminder that this is not about us. That we have the simple, wonderful privilege of working alongside God. But it is about Him. This is His glory. This is His kingdom. This is His honor. This is His. We are His. And we need to remember that if there's any success in Mountain View Chapel, it's because Jesus did it. This mission that we are on is primarily about the glory and the accomplishments of Jesus. Notice in that verse in Matthew 16, he says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." The gates of hell, the gates of any kingdom is at the kingdom's entrance. It's what protects a kingdom. It's what protects the people. It's what keeps out the enemy. Jesus said that the gate that's holding back all those people in hell, all the people who are in the kingdom of darkness, the one that they're behind these gates opposing God, he says, I'm going to build my church, and whatever gate they put up to try to keep people out of mine, it's not going to work. So in order for us to be successful, in order to crash those gates and bring people out of darkness into light, we're going to need someone who has the keys to the gate of hell. Isn't that what Revelation says? Jesus said, I am the one who has the keys to death and Hades. Through my death and resurrection, I open gates. And I'm the one who can take people out of death into life, out of darkness into light, out of the grips of the enemy into the kingdom of my blessed Son. Amen. Church, because of Jesus, our mission can't fail. I will build my church, Jesus said, and they won't prevail. But for how long has Jesus' church been so distracted? Stuck with our own plans, going our own ways. And boy, it looks like hell is prevailing. So we as Mountain View Chapel look at this mission statement and go, this is all about what Jesus is doing and already winning. He won through the death and resurrection. He's winning because people are still everywhere being saved. And if we're not going to step in and say, Lord, I want to work, and you are the Lord, and we will do what you've called us to do, we can just carry on as a church, but that flame will begin to flicker out. Our mission statement here, that we are making disciples who glorify Christ as he builds his church, is not just for the leadership. It's not just for the membership. This mission statement is for Mountain View Chapel. All of us who are here, this is what we're here for. This is what we're striving for. We are not working to do whatever we have to do to entertain people so they'll just come and fill our seats. That feels good for a moment, but it's not success. We are striving so that everyone here is full of the Holy Spirit and walking in obedience to him in their life. That includes you. It includes you. The purpose for being in Christ at Mountain View Chapel is for each one of us to be following Jesus, believing and trusting him with every facet of our life. We believe that it's the gospel alone that saves, that we are baptized into his name, not this church's name, that we live obedient and selfless lives wherever he calls us to be, even if it's not in this congregation. And that those lives glorify the one true God. And as we are faithful to that, if we are faithful to that, we know, we have the promise, we have trust that Jesus is doing what only he can do. Adding to the number of saints every day, growing his kingdom until it covers the whole earth. And what a day that will be. And this mission statement is what we will be doing until he returns. You and I may not be here. People come, people go. But this church, I really believe, will stand here for faithful until Jesus returns. And his throne will be established permanently. His people will be completed and glorified. And to think that God has called us in Christ to be a part of that wondrous eternal plan. My prayer is that we don't throw away that opportunity to squander his gifts and lose the rewards of the faithful. So may we get serious about the commission of Jesus Christ, that it's priority in our life. Of all things that we do, this encapsulates everything. So whether I'm sitting here on Sunday morning, I'm making disciples who glorify Christ as he builds his church, whether I'm at work doing my 9 to 5, or for a lot of you guys, your 9 to 9, that we're making disciples who glorify Christ as he builds his church. And when we're in our home and we're raising our families and we're interacting with our spouse, we're making disciples who glorify Christ as he builds his church. Whatever we do, may we honor him. And that we can see God work through us. People are being saved, marriages and households being healed, Christians coming to a full realization of what it means to be in Christ and to experience being a member of a healthy, spirit-filled church. I hope you want that. Oh, to be a part of a church that's healthy and spirit-filled, faithful to her calling, to the glory of the Lord Jesus. And to do that, we will focus on Scripture, and we will focus on worship, and we'll focus on discipleship and evangelism, and we'll focus on fellowship, and we'll focus on family, and we'll focus on prayer. And for the next 7 weeks, we'll look at each of those and really examine ourselves. Will you pray with me? Our Lord, our Master, our King. What an honor to have your name placed on us. The name that is above every name, and by the only name by which we can be saved. Lord, we understand that eternity isn't reliant upon Mountain View Chapel, but we are so grateful that you have made her. A church in the Ruby Valley of Southwest Montana. To the apostles, this is the utter ends of the world. And you have brought your gospel here decades and decades ago. But it's the same gospel that's saving people now. Lord, I pray that you revive in our hearts the priority of this mission. That this is our life goal, to see Jesus glorified in our lives, in our homes, in our church. And that we will be faithful for what you've given us. And even though what you've given us may seem small compared to other people and other places, you don't look at it that way. And we're grateful that you are here and that you know us and that you're near to us. And that our success is not based on how hard we try or how good we are. Our success is based on the righteousness of Jesus alone. And Father, help us to be a people who lean on that and rest in that. But in that drives us in obedience to you. So, Father, may we as a people love one another, teach one another, care for one another in such a way that it increases your kingdom and makes your kingdom stronger here, and that of all things, your name will be known until that great day when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father in heaven. We ask you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.